Well, we continue on in our study of God's decree. Since we're approaching Christmas, I thought it might be appropriate, since I'm discussing God's use of means in fulfilling His decree, to take a look at what happened so long ago between the angel Gabriel and Mary. And the way that I want to approach this here is to read this passage, actually to have you help me read this passage. I need three volunteers. We're going to be reading Luke 1, 26 to 56. And who would like to read the first section of verses 26 to 34? All right, David. And who would like to read the second section of verses 35 to 45? All right, Abe. And the third section of verses 46 to 56? All right, Michael. Great. Well, just go right ahead and start, and then we'll interact over this after we get done reading it.
Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.
Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who has believed, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which were told her from the Lord."
All right, who? Michael, yeah, go ahead.
Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained about 3 months to return to my house.
All right, thanks for reading those verses. This is really quite an extraordinary passage, which shows us, I think, so much about both God's decree and Mary's faith. I want you to notice that God used the means of an angel here. God sent the angel Gabriel. What a mighty angel he must be, and communicated so well both to Zacharias and to Mary in that day, interacted with them. I want you to notice that this was an interaction. These things were decreed by God, but there was interaction. And that's the way it always is, by the way, at least from our perspective. That's the way that we need to see God, as the one who interacts with us. But he uses means, and the means that he used here was to send the angel Gabriel. So he comes in, and he troubled Mary somewhat. Now, what was Mary troubled about here? I mean, he declared what was going to happen. And I want you to see this. It says that that verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled. And she was troubled by what? The salutation, the greeting. And yet the greeting is nothing but positive. What was it that was troubling her here? She specifically mentions it. It wasn't like Zacharias, by the way. I think that we need to understand this. Both Zacharias and Mary had faith. And we haven't read about Zacharias this morning, but Zacharias, if you will recall, was struck dumb because he wouldn't believe the words that were spoken to him concerning the birth of John the Baptist. And it's interesting the way that Zacharias worded it. He said, how do I know this shall be? And right away, then the angel Gabriel reproves him and says, since you haven't believed my words that this will be fulfilled, you will not speak until the day that John is born, which of course he didn't. And all of this falls under God's decree is what I'm trying to show you. But at the same time, there is this interaction, and the interaction is over our faith. That's what I want you to see here, that when we believe in the sovereignty of God, it doesn't eliminate our responsibility to do what we know that we need to do, and especially in regard to faith. Because God uses means to accomplish His ends. That's what I'm trying to show you here. Second, Gabriel declared God's decree and then drew Mary's faith out. This is very significant, I think. Very, very significant. She's troubled at first, and she's troubled at this saying. And Gabriel tells her not to be afraid, because she's found favor with God. That ought to have been a cause of rejoicing in her, but that's not what she was thinking about. He says to her, blessed are you among women, but she's troubled at this thing. She's trying to take in what he's saying to her, and Gabriel tells her not to be afraid, for she had found favor, but something wonderful was going to happen. Something very wonderful was going to take place. And God was going to bring it about. She would conceive in her womb. He says to her, and bring forth a son. And she's told that his name would be Jesus. And I want you to notice that all down through this passage that you brethren just read to me, you see nothing but God's decree almost. This is what I'm going to do. And not only with regard to Mary herself, but also what Christ would accomplish, you'll notice. As you go down through the passage, and the more you read, the more you see God's sovereignty. You see His decree. You see what He's purposed. Because God's decree is His eternal purpose. whereby for his own glory he foreordains whatsoever comes to pass. And he does that in all of its details, brethren. That is what is really stupendous about God's decree and about his sovereignty in relation to it. But having said all that, I want you to see, secondly, that Gabriel declared God's decree and he drew Mary's faith out in the process so that she would exhibit it. He laid it before her in such a way that she would have to respond, just like Zacharias, but she would respond rightly in faith. And this is what I want to focus on here for a few minutes. The response of Mary's faith. It's really interesting the way that it's worded there. Let's see if I can find this. And she's troubled. Oh, here it is in verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Those are decree statements. And Mary said to the angel, and here's her question, how can this be since I do not know a man? In other words, she was just simply concerned about the logistics. She knows how children come into being. It's when a man and a woman have relations, man and his wife, and the child is conceived and then born 9 months later. In this case, she doesn't see the connection with a man. She is given this incredible information that she's going to conceive, but she isn't in a position to do that legitimately. She's concerned. She's a righteous woman. She's a godly woman. She is a faithful woman. This is what I want you to see. So the angel answers her, and this is really an amazing, amazing thing. Mary does not dispute God's purpose. Okay? That's what I want you to see. Now, there are people that do that, even Christian people that dispute God's purposes with them. In other words, if God providentially orders something in their life, then they've got a quarrel to pick with God over it. Because they don't like it, they don't want it, they don't want to receive it. Whereas God wants them to receive it. Thomas Boston used to call that the crook in the lot. And he took that from the book of Ecclesiastes. That verse, it says, if God has made something crooked, who can make it straight? Well, that's the way it is in life. If he puts a crook in your lot, God has put it there for a good reason. You may not understand that reason, but he wants you to interact with him over it. Do you see that? In this case, what's wonderful is this explanation that Mary is given by the angel. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And look at the encouragement that he gives her to draw her faith out. He says, verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. And look at her response. Look at how the angel saying these things drew her out in her response. Right away she says, behold the maidservant of the Lord. She says, be it done to me according to your word. Isn't that good? That is so good, brethren. That is just so good. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. In other words, I'm here to serve your purpose. That's what I want you to see. And you and I are here as Christians to serve God's purpose. And once we see that, and once we begin to live like that, then God will bless us abundantly, even through all the trials and difficulties that we will have in life. He will do it, for nothing will be impossible for God, as it says here. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, I am your servant. Let it be done to me according to your word. Notice again, she specifically affirms the word of the Lord to her. That's what I want you to notice. And I want you to think about that. And we don't receive the word in a revelatory fashion like she did. But we have the word of God inscripturated. And God wants us to trust in His promises. Behind His promises are His decree of what He will do. He will do these things. He would do them for Christ, and He will do them for us. And it is a magnificent thing to think about. Great encouragement to our faith, if we'll just simply think about it together. To be willing to accept God's decree concerning your life. Whatever it is, He's doing it for your good and according to His purpose, so He can fulfill His word in you and in your life and the lives of your relatives and friends and all you're concerned about in these days. So what I'm trying to say here is the response of Mary's faith established the decree. I don't mean it in the sense from God. I mean it in the sense of the beginning of the fulfillment. Do you see it? In other words, God used the means of the angel. God used the means of Mary and her womb and her faith to be able to see these great things come to pass. Be it done to me according to your word. Oh, those are precious. These are precious, precious truths. I'm saying the response of Mary's faith established the decree in its beginning to be fulfilled. Now that decree was going to encompass the whole life of Christ and then all the results flowing out of His life, death, and resurrection. His ascension, His coming to heaven, to be at the right hand of the Father, His drawing all men to Himself in the sense of His elect people. His making a new creation of people. His making of the new heavens and the new earth which are coming. All of this flows out of this incident right here in the incarnation. Do you see it? Do you see how God takes something that is just, it appears to be very small at one point. One woman conceiving. But in this case, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He would be the Son of God. And out of that one man then comes all this great purpose in salvation. How wondrous is that, brethren? How wondrous is that? So then we also see here that God encouraged Mary and Elizabeth by each other, by their faith. When they met together, and even this was somewhat of a revelatory thing here, quite interesting, as a matter of fact. The truth of the matter was that you have these two women, and Mary comes in, and she sees Elizabeth, and Elizabeth breaks out into praise here. She breaks out into praise when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, verse 41. And the babe, it says, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke prophetically, even as a prophetess, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Wow! Is that ever good, huh? This is the little John the Baptist in the womb, leaping. And brethren, I want you to see just how much the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives. I mean, and this is pretty dramatic stuff here, but I'm just saying, we need to think of it in terms more personally. If God did this for Elizabeth, what does He do for us? He does the same types of things in our heart and mind on a regular and continual basis because He is with us forever. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And yet we don't sense Him and feel Him, and we don't know the sense of His presence all the time in a way that we realize all these things immediately. We have to think about them. We have to ponder them like Mary did these things in her own heart. But I'm simply saying that you and I need to see this as an encouragement to our own faith that everything will be fulfilled in regard to us as well. And the Holy Spirit keeps track of it. I'm talking about our faith. You remember with Zacharias, again, he was struck mute for that time because he did not believe in the words of the angel to him. And sometimes we do not believe the words of the Lord to us in His promises when we really should. And if we would be strong in our faith, we really must. Yes, oh yes. If we do not want to be disciplined by the Lord in some way or another, there was this great encouragement that was taking place there, and Mary was encouraged by it. Elizabeth was encouraged by it. Mary breaks out in this great anthem of praise, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She says, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant." Now, she was given some of the most amazing information that any woman has ever received concerning the birth of a child, and yet she regards herself in a humble way. You see that? And you and I have been given great portions of the Word of God to read, to believe, and to act upon. And we need to be humble enough to realize that God will fulfill everything in regard to what He promises us in His Word and what He purposes concerning us in our life. Now, what Mary says here, again, almost shows nothing but God's decree. This is what I want you to see. Because sometimes we just don't believe in the sovereignty of God the way that we need to. And the way that we need to is we need to believe that God has decreed all things for His own glory and for our good. And what it says here is almost nothing but decree in the verses 49 to 55. "He who is mighty has done great things for me." And that's what He's done for us in salvation. "And holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has shown strength with His arm." Look at this whole list. "He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their thoughts." That's what God does. "He puts down the mighty from their thrones." That's what God does. "He exalts the lowly." That's what God does. "He fills the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." So she recounts the promises given to Abraham. And she's lifting up her voice in prayer and praise and thanksgiving here to God, who is the one who has decreed all of these good things that we're reading about this morning, and especially concerning herself and the child to be born of her. Oh, that's what I want you to see. What a wonderful thing it is. What should our response be? Well, it should be to hold to the Scripture promises that we might have hope. And I want to close by looking at Romans 15 here, verses 4 to 13. And I'll just real quick read this here. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. That's us, the Gentiles. As it is written, for this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now these verses are extraordinary, and they're really appropriate in the context of what we're looking at here this morning. We need to see here that God is patient in the way that He fulfills His promises. He does not always fulfill them in our time or in our way, the way that we conceive it in our own mind, in our own thinking. And so God has to be patient. He has to be patient in His fulfilling of it, but He has to be patient with us. Why do you think that He needs to be patient with us? That's good. That's very good. We're very slow to learn. That's exactly right. We have to learn. And God is patient, and He wants us to learn to do His will at every point, doesn't He? And therefore, Paul says that we ought to pray that God would grant that we all, with one mind and one mouth, it says here, glorify God that this is so, and receive one another. Now, why do you think that he sticks that in there? Receiving one another. Well, the reason is because you and I need to see that we need to be patient with one another, because God is teaching each of us. And we don't always learn, as Rita was saying, right away. We may be a slow learner. And as we look at one another, we might think, well, that person really ought to understand that. They really ought to know that. They ought really to be able to engage God in faith over that. And we think askance about them. But it says here, receive one another. In other words, don't always be looking at your brethren critically, that they need to be making faster progress than what they're making. Maybe they're making as fast a progress as they can at that point. But I'm just saying, this is very practical stuff that flows out of all this. And we need to realize that God is working in all of us. He's transforming us into the image of Christ. And we need to learn to appreciate His good work in each other. You and I. We need to appreciate God's good work in each other. And that'll give us reason to praise God. It'll give us reason to sing praises to His name. For Christ is reigning in righteousness over us. And therefore we pray that the God of hope will fill us with joy and peace in believing in Him. That's what we should pray for one another and for ourselves, that He would fill us with hope. Joy and peace and believing in Him. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this Christmas season, which speaks to us of these things that we have talked about. But it should speak to our hearts also of the many things that You have decreed concerning us. And we pray, O Lord, that You will help us. Help us to regard one another rightly. Help us to be patient. Be patient with us. We pray that we would learn all these good things that You would have us to learn. How to exercise our faith. How to be Your servant. O Lord, take us by the hand and lead us into these truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.